Good morning.
Good morning.
What a glorious day we have here in the Villages in Central Florida. We are so blessed to live where we live. The gospel lesson that we have for the day is the transfiguration of Jesus. Certainly, while we're not in the transfiguration, we're about ready to be in transition. We're about to go from the liturgical season of Epiphany, and next week we will start the liturgical season of Lent. It's not widely celebrated transfiguration, but it was a vivid and glorious moment, a pivotal moment in the life of Jesus and for the disciples that witnessed it. In our gospel, it says that his clothes became dazzling white. Furthermore, the event came to a climax when Jesus was affirmed by God about his true identity. God said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." We can't experience oneness or closeness with God unless we are listening. And that's what Lent is all about. Lent is about taking time out of our busy lives. And certainly St. George has been very busy over the last 2 months. It's about taking time out of our busy lives, having some downtime, and spending time with our Lord. When we are truly hearing God's voice, we are experiencing God's awesome presence, discover a power that defies logic and can do more for us than we can ever desire or pray for. It completely overwhelms us when we are one with God. It may last only a few seconds, but in that few seconds, or in that moment, we receive a glimpse of the eternal. We may not like what we are hearing from God. It even may take us on a different path and a different direction, and we may even resist that new path that God wants to take us to. But if we go there, we feel great because we know we are in the Lord. Now, not too long, I was talking to a parishioner, and I'm not going to tell you who it was. And this person says to me, "Father, I know Lent is about ready to occur and that we're supposed to give up something. Do you have any idea what I need to give up for Lent?" That's a dangerous question to ask a minister. I said, "Well, you could think about giving up golf for during Lent." This person said, "Okay, Father, you're gone from preaching to meddling now, so you might not want to do that." At the top of the mountain, the disciples were in a position to focus clearly on who Jesus was. They were also able to hear the voice of God, since they were totally free of any distractions. Since they had made the climb and retreated from the business as usual in their early days, they could truly tune into the presence of God. On Wednesday, we began the liturgical season of Lent. And I love Lent, because Lent is such a time in which we can truly be focused on our Lord. Lent offers a beautiful opportunity to discover the mystery of Christ within us. It's a gentle but also demanding time. It's a time of solitude. It's a time of silence. And silence can be a difficult thing because we have to be trained in order to listen to our thoughts and just to be with ourselves and the Lord. It's a time of individual prayer as well. It's a time of study, but also a time of community. It's a time of listening to the voice within, but also a time of paying attention to other people's needs. It's a time to continuously make the spiritual connection to a new inner self and with those who are around us. Now, it's no accident that Jesus appeared to Moses and Elijah on that mountaintop. Those two men were giants of the faith. And certainly the disciples would have fully known about Moses and Elijah and the history that they shared with the Hebrew nation. They would have known much about their activities and about their faith and much about what they were. Each of them, however, Moses and Elijah, had to depend on God for help. They had to depend on God for help many times over, especially in a crisis. At one point, Elijah was feeling overwhelmed, and he was questioning God, "God, how can I do this?" He was feeling overwhelmed, and he was feeling alone. So God told Elijah to stand on a mountain, and there he experienced great winds. He experienced a fire. He experienced an earthquake. But none of this got his attention. It was total silence. Total silence that enabled him to hear instructions from God. There were times when Moses felt alone too. At one point, the Israelites were complaining about not having enough water to drink and not having enough food. And they challenged Moses and his leadership. And they said, "Moses, did you bring us out here to the desert to die? We are starving. We don't have anything to drink, nothing to eat. We might as well go back to where we came from." The people quarreled with Moses, and they even threatened to kill him. So in a panic, Moses cried out to God for help. God instructed Moses to take some of the elders and go to the rock of Horeb, and that God would be there. There Moses was instructed to strike the rock. And I know Moses is thinking, "Why am I going to strike this rock? Nothing is going to happen." But that's not how it is when God gives us instructions and we listen. So Moses strike the rock, and out come gushing of water. When Elijah and Moses were dependent on God during their mission and ministry, miraculous things happened. They called upon God, and God intervened. When Elijah and Moses appeared with Jesus, it was a reminder to the disciples that just as God had been with the leaders of faith in the past, God would be with them in Jesus Christ, and miraculous things would occur. They would see things that they had never seen before. So Peter was so overtaken by the glory of Jesus. He wanted to hang on to this moment. He wanted to remember this moment. He thought that this was it. This is the pivotal of what we've been waiting for. So he said, "In order to remember this moment, I'm going to build three dwellings." He would have one made for the presence of Jesus, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and they would be permanent. But something was going on here. Jesus wasn't sure how to respond to the fear of the disciples. It was precisely at that moment that God spoke and said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Peter thought that this was it, that there was nothing else more that could happen that could top this moment. But God said, "No, that is not true. This is just the beginning about what's going to happen in and through my Son, Jesus Christ. This is just the beginning, how me, God, is going to change the world. This is more than this. This is just the beginning about what people are going to see, about how God's Holy Spirit is with us. This is just the beginning. Something is going to happen down the road that is going to change the entire world and universe, not only for that moment, but forever." Jesus is going to die on the cross. And in 3 days, death will be defeated. He will be raised from the dead. He will walk out of that tomb. And you know that God is alive and well. That's what happened. Now, this time on the mountain was certainly a spiritual boost. It was certainly something that would carry him on all the way to the cross. But it was not the end. It was simply the beginning. It wasn't necessary for Peter to hold on to this moment of glory. The real glory of God's divinity is found in Jesus will happen later. It will be a witness. There will be women around there who will say, "My Lord is alive. He is alive." God was aware of the disciples and their fears. God assured them in a time of despair. He made sure and worked hard to try them not to lose their faith, especially after Jesus was gone. So during this season of Lent, seek the transformation of the Lord in your life. Take time out for solitude. Take time out for silence. Take time out for study. Take time out to be in worship with your community here at St. George. Take time to be on your knees in prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to wash over you so you can feel the Lord's presence in your life. And whatever is bothering you today, hand it to God. Hand all of it to God. And ask God to be with you and help you to discern which way you need to go. Amen.